It's 4 o'clock in Cullman at 86 degrees outside. 4 o'clock on a weekday in the fall means it's time for Sports Talk Live. We invite Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes in here each and every week to discuss football. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that, Jason, I'm convinced that Auburn won this last weekend because they outscored Alabama, and that's my final word.
Yeah, we'll take it any way we can get it.
Well, if Alabama can't beat Arkansas State and if Auburn can't beat Alabama State, which is probably, you know.
They beat Tuskegee.
Close, but they beat them.
There wouldn't be much to talk about if those two went down last week, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
We would be done with the season.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, nothing else needs to be said.
But on the bright side, real football starts back this week. In fact, starting really tonight.
Tonight.
I think at 5:30, Wake Forest has moved their game up due to the hurricane coming
in. That's right. Jay, do you have any updates before we get started about the hurricane? What's going on with that? Or
it's a coming, but it's a slowing down, and it's got a mind of its own, and that's about it.
I got you. I think that not that it matters, but didn't they downgrade it to it's now down to?
Yeah,
like
I was watching a little coverage of it last night, and you know they were hyping. Okay, hype's not a good word.
Yeah.
You know they were all about being Category 4, and then all of a sudden it was Category 2.
Yeah.
But I think the only difference in that, Ronnie, is about a 20-mile-an-hour difference in the wind. It's like 140 to 120 or something.
Yeah. And Jason and I were talking before we came on the air that you know some people were saying some areas could get up to as much as 40 inches of rain, 40 inches of rain, which is catastrophic in itself. You know, forget about the wind.
I'm somewhat of a hurricane expert.
Oh, you are? I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. Because I am probably, well, there's probably somebody else around that done the same thing.
Oh.
But we had a place in Orange Beach.
So you learned something foolish, which makes you an expert.
In the early 2000, well, in fact, it was 2004 to 2011, 7 years.
Ooh.
In 7 years, we were hit by 5 hurricanes.
No way.
Yes.
Between the coast of Alabama?
Yes.
Wow.
Between a 2 and a 4, if you've got property on sitting right on the beach,
the property doesn't know the difference.
Make much difference.
Well, it's not a laughing matter. I know. So, and I know your son lives in North Carolina.
Right,
so,
right, but fortunate he lives in Charlotte, which is about not going like a crow flies. It would be closer, but road wise, it's about 3 hours and 15 minutes. So it would be like Montgomery to the beach. So by the time it gets to him, they're saying 30, 40 mile an hour winds and as much as 10 inches of rain, and some are saying 3 to 5 inches of rain. So just take your pick.
If it
rains 3 or 5 inches, it's like you said, Ronnie, the Christmas we got, what'd you say, 10
about
inches?
10, I think we got 9 to 10 inches. I think that was, what was that, about 3 Christmases ago? Something like that.
That was the day that I like to affectionately refer to as Christmas Lake was formed.
Absolutely.
The new reservoir out there.
Yeah, that river filled up
in one day.
And think North Carolina, parts of North Carolina, is going to get 4 times that.
Right. Some football games, I don't have them pulled up, we'll talk about it later, but I know there's probably been some. There are some cancellations.
Anything with Carolina in it has been canceled.
South Carolina, North Carolina, Coastal Carolina.
North Carolina State.
Yeah.
Even poor old Sweet Caroline from Neil Diamond, canceled.
Canceled.
Not to be aired anymore.
No. Oh, man. So, you know, and we're here to have a, you know, enjoy the a couple hours talk about football. But, folks, you know, in the Carolinas, please take heed. Take every precaution to protect yourself.
And I'm telling you, some of these people, they're going to be deaths. There's little doubt about it, drowning and all. And whether anybody dies or not, people's lives are going to be changed forever after the storm. You know, like it's easy for us to sit here and, like you said, kind of make light of it at times. Yeah. And we're not making fun of it.
Don't
call us jumping on us because we've suffered losses from hurricanes, tornadoes, storms, and know what it's about. But these people their lives are going to be changed, and it'll never be the same. So,
the big thing that the talking heads keep pointing out is the storm surge, and that's going to come into play closest to the ocean and all of it. Yeah, just watching like 15 minutes of the Weather Channel, they put up this video graphic showing you how tall or how deep, 4 foot, 8 foot, 12 foot is.
Did I hear something about 80 feet?
There was an 80-foot wave, yep.
Wow.
Now, I think I heard, isn't that two paralyzed poles stacked on top of one another?
Well, think on average it's about an eight-story building.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You talk about even if there was nothing else other than if that were to occur, you know, it came ashore, the catastrophic damage in 80-foot wave.
Think of this. You were there at our condo we had in Orange Beach. It was on the third floor, and there was a floor down below it. So it's 40 feet to the top of the ceiling. So it'd be twice as high as our condo in Orange Beach.
The condo wouldn't even. How many floors was it?
I don't even remember now. It seemed like there was 8 or 10. So it might have had one level left.
Yeah. Wow, unbelievable. Hope that doesn't.
Oh man.
Hope that doesn't happen to them.
I hadn't heard that.
Wow.
Yep. Hey, we've already talked ourselves nearly up to Chris.
That's right.
Our good buddy. Andrews joins us from Vegas each week, and we'll be firing some questions at him. And
absolutely.
He don't have to worry about the old hurricanes out in Vegas.
No, he does not. And this is
the Miami hurricanes.
Oh boy.
Speaking they're bad. That,
we can talk a little ACC in a little bit as well. But Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada, our good buddy there. And I know he has an XM station that he is involved in. It's
204.
Is that what it is? So check that out sometime. XM 204.
And we're going to get out and see Chris at some point.
He's on the line.
He's online. All right, Chris. Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Man, we are great. How about you?
Not bad. No, not bad at all.
We've just been sitting here talking about 10 minutes about the big Hurricane Florence hitting the Carolinas now. So.
Yeah, you guys are unaffected, I guess, right?
Right, yeah. My son actually lives in Charlotte. He moved to Charlotte a couple of years ago, but he's far enough inland that I don't think it's going to bother him too much, and he was already planning to visit home anyway, so we'll be glad to see him this weekend. So.
Very good, very good.
Well, all right, Chris, if you're ready, we're ready. We'll start firing them at you.
Fire away, boys.
Hey, man, you know as well as we do, Chris, there's not a lot we can even talk about Auburn, Alabama last Saturday, so let's just put it to bed, and you know they both won and scored about any time they wanted to.
Yeah.
Most teams like Auburn and Alabama have a couple of cupcakes, sometimes three, four, whatever on their schedule. Let me ask you, Chris, do you lean more toward the thought that an unbeaten team in the Power Five is going to make the playoffs and the small schools have to play these games to meet their financial needs, and so it's just a way to get a good record and help a small school, or do you lean more toward the thought that fans pay good money for these tickets, they need to see quality football, and if you do get a blemish on your record and it comes down and you've got those cupcakes, it hurts you on making the playoffs? Which school of thought do you belong to?
I'd rather see it hurt them for that, and I think I mentioned it on your show last week. You know, a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, something like that, Stanford went into Northwestern and lost. And Northwestern wasn't great that year, but they, you know, Stanford could have played, you know, UC Davis or Sacramento State or something like that. But instead they went into, you know, a good program, a Northwestern that's probably underrated. Probably most people don't know that they've won 10 games three times this decade. It's a pretty good program, although that was one of their better teams. And they beat Stanford, who definitely wasn't ready. At the end of the year, Stanford probably would have made the playoffs, and I think really was, you know, arguably second or third best team in the country, except they did have that blemish. So I don't like that. You know, I remember, you know, Jason, I'm probably a little bit older than you guys, but I remember when that USC-Alabama game, you know, that was like an early season game. That really, I think, changed college football quite a bit. And, you know, it'd be hard to do that in this era. And, you know, I'd like to see these teams. And I give the SEC credit for playing a pretty tough opening game almost every, you know, most of the teams.
Right.
You know, Auburn and Alabama certainly did this year. And I think that's their credit. I like to see them travel a little more and go up north once in a while. That was always been my one knock on them.
Right.
But I like that. And, I know these – there's plenty of money to go around. Who are we kidding? Yeah. So if the NCAA wants to help some bolster, you know, the Arkansas states of the world, I think there's a way to do it, you know, without having to have them going to Alabama, which, not that that's so bad, but I'd rather see another game Bama or Auburn's schedule. Right. They're playing a quality team.
You know, by the time you make your donation to the school and pay for your $75, $80 a ticket, Chris, are you still with us?
He gone.
He gone.
I'll get him back.
That's fine.
But what I was saying, by the time you pay the donation to the school that you're going to about be required to make,
right,
and then you're going to pay $75 to $110 for a SEC home ticket, depending on who it is, you've got a lot of money tied up in that, and you don't want to see no Alabama State and Arkansas State.
I agree. You know, Jason, as I was watching the game at home for about, you know, for about 10 minutes, because they were honestly, after 10 minutes of the first quarter, both games were
Chris,
over.
Chris, you're back
anyway.
With us
yeah,
now.
Sorry, I bumped the phone, guys.
No, that's fine, man.
Sorry about that.
But, Chris, what we were talking about, or what I was about to say, you know, I'm with you. I know you can't play maybe SEC caliber every week, or, you know, or the Penn States or the Michigans or, you know, the TCUs or whomever, but the Arkansas States and the Alabama State, you know, 10 minutes after the game starts, the game is over, and it may be 5 minutes after it starts. And then by halftime, there's nobody there, everybody's left, and it's just not enjoyable to watch. You know, you just flip and watch something else. So I understand why they schedule like they do, but gosh, it would be nice if they would just upgrade just a little bit, you know, in their non-conference games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, like you said, you don't have to play Oklahoma every week, but, you know, you could play Iowa State, or you could play Purdue, you know, you could play, you know, schools like, you know, Wake Forest, and at least they're Power 5 teams, maybe not the top echelon, certainly, but still they're Power 5 teams, and, you know, those teams make, you know, big bowl games every now and then, and, you know, would be a chance to have a formidable opponent, and, you know, they still might beat them by 35, you know, but still, at least it's a quality team that has a little bit of a shot.
Oh yeah,
exactly. Now, from the this is completely all you know, out in left field. But the way the game ended up last week with Samford and Florida State, you know, maybe Alabama and Auburn they may need to play Samford. I tell you, I know that's another topic for later. But geez, that is one. I thought it was a bad football team after week one, but after they barely beat Samford.
It's even worse.
Oh, it's even worse.
Hey, Chris, let's jump on the Tigers. The Tigers are coming to meet the Tigers. Auburn, I don't know what you've got out in Vegas, but last thing I seen, Auburn was about a 9.5-point favorite. Give us your thoughts on the game and the line. Is it too much in your opinion, not enough? How do you see this one?
Well, I opened the game 9.5, and according to my power ratings, that's exactly what it should be. You know, so, you know, tell you the truth, when I looked at it, I thought it was a little high, but then the more I looked at it, I thought the number was right. Meanwhile, we're up to 10 with the game, you know, strictly on money.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the public is behind Auburn. I it's going to be a tough game, I can tell you that. You know, total's 45, pretty low anymore for a college football game. So I think we're looking probably for a defensive struggle. Not that I'd be looking to jump on LSU, just maybe a little shade high with that double digits. Like I said, I think we could be looking at 21-17, 23-17, something like that. So I think it's going to be kind of a low.
You're killing me,
game,
Chris.
So
you're killing me.
I'm probably looking to take the points.
You're killing me because I was on the LSU bandwagon. I think Auburn, like you, was going to win the game, but I didn't think they would cover. Yeah. And then good old Jason gets on one of the Birmingham talk shows listening. And heard a guy from ESPN. I don't even remember his name now, thank goodness. But anyway, he talked me into believing this game is not going to even be close. And so I am – so y'all have something good to laugh about Saturday. I am pretty heavy on Auburn Saturday. Let me just say that. So,
since I've been on the air with you boys for a couple years now, I find myself rooting for Auburn, rooting for Bam every once in a while. So I wouldn't mind seeing it. But I got to tell you, and I think we mentioned this earlier in the year, you know, not crazy about Ed Orgeron, but he did get himself a pretty good staff, you know.
Yeah,
and
he does.
You have to kind of appreciate that. And – you know, I don't know. He's got some. They've always had talent, but you know, Anyway, I'll probably be rooting for, you know, I root for whatever my wallet.
Chris, Ronnie better be pulling for Auburn because I may be hunting a place to lay my head if I lose this one Saturday. So.
Oh, my goodness, Jason.
We won't tell Mrs. Spiegel. I thought she was listening. He probably hears you all week. You don't need to hear this.
But, you know, after I saw it, and I think Jason agreed, and Chris, you too, they just dismantled Miami week opener. Now, you know, was that just a fluke, or was, you know, is LSU
Miami's not worth a fluke
that strong, or is it the fact that Miami is pretty bad or pretty average itself? But I think something that Chris you mentioned and Jason too, you can count on LSU. They're going to have athletes. I mean, there's no question. They're going to have athletes. They've got as many 4 and 5 stars as Auburn's going to have, or probably as Alabama's going to have. And defensively, they've looked really, really solid. My concern is, Jason and I think we all talked about this earlier, not sold on Auburn's running game. And if Auburn is not able to effectively run the football and they make them one-dimensional, I think they've got a chance to be a really close football game. But if Auburn can run a football game, it's not going to be.
Yeah, well, we mentioned that, I think, after that Washington game. You know, Stidham, definitely the best offensive weapon they have. You know, I still believe that they'll be able to run the ball at some point. Now, LSU might not be the easiest team to run against, you know.
Right.
They got some pretty good guys in the trenches. But I heard Jason mention, too, you know, maybe that Miami team isn't all that good. And I think we go back and look at last year. You know, Rick did a pretty good job, but they won a lot of really close games. They had a lot of luck go their way. They wound up, you know, things kind of caught up with them at the end of the year. And, you know, they did get dismantled in game one. You know, he is a good coach. He might be able to bring them back a little bit, you know. But right now I'm not sure just how good that team is, you know. So I don't want to get too carried away with the LSU game early on.
Right.
But like I said, I think the number's about right. The only thing I would just look for is it might be a low-scoring game and tough to lay double digits in a game like that.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, let's talk. Let me ask you a couple questions here about Alabama. Of course, everybody, you know, that's an Alabama fan or lives in this area knows Alabama travels to Ole Miss this year, and they're one of two teams that has beaten Alabama, you know, twice since Johnny Manziel did it in 2013. Bama is around a 21-point favorite, something like that. Give me your thoughts on this game. Can it be any closer than that, or is it going to be more than that, or how do you think the points shake out as the game plays out?
Well, I got to tell you, I've been very impressed with both teams so far this year. I've raised them both about equally in my power ratings, and I had this game, I think, in my season, my preseason games of the year, I think I had Bama 23-point favorite. I opened this one 21, although I'm up now to 21.5, so that's not a big move.
Right.
But I'll tell you, here's the thing. I think I mentioned last week, I hate to swear. Jason, I hate to do this.
No, don't do it then, Chris. You really hate it. Don't do it.
My one good buddy is a pretty good football guy. Says he thinks this is one of Alabama's best teams ever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true or not. We still got a lot of football to play. So I did raise them up. But I tell you, Mississippi's a lot better than I thought. And the only thing I would say about Mississippi, they're probably at their best, like, right now, because I'm not sure about their depth. And I think the war of attrition, it's going to probably take its toll on Mississippi, you know, maybe more so than a lot of other SEC teams. I just don't see them with certainly not the depth of Alabama. But we're playing this week. You know, and right now they're at pretty much full strength.
Right.
And I think they're going to really give Bama, that's going to be a tough game. Now this game is set, the total 71, and you usually say, well, you'd like to lay points in a game like that because they might be kind of cheap. Well, they might be, but I'll tell you what, I think that back door is going to be wide open for Mississippi, and I think that even if they're losing, third and fourth quarter, they're going to still mount some offense. I think they got a real good chance of covering this game. And like I said, I think if this game were played at the end of the year, I think number would probably be a little bit higher. But right now, Mississippi, not too many injuries, a lot of talent, more talented than I thought they'd be. I think they hang in there with Alabama. I'd be looking to take the points in this one. I think it's going to be a tough game for Bama.
Wow. You know,
Chris, something that I looked up earlier today, I was certain. I agree with you. I certainly believe Ole Miss is going to score some points. I think they very likely put 21 up or potentially more on the board. The big question I see is, if we look at stats and we know that, you know, it's early in the season, but they rank 119th total defense, and there's 130 teams. You know, they're averaging giving up 34 points a game, and they play Texas Tech and Southern Illinois. I mean, if they're averaging giving up 34 against those, what potentially could Alabama hang on them?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, there's no doubt that's true. Now, Texas Tech, though, they have a pretty good offense.
Yes, they do.
They play the kind of game where there's a lot of, you know, a lot of possessions and that sort of thing. So that could get a little deceptive.
Right.
Now, Southern Illinois, I can't answer for that one. Yeah. I don't know. You know, who knows? Maybe they're looking ahead to Bama or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think, Bama going to put up numbers. There's no doubt about that. But I do think that back door is going to be wide open. I don't think Mississippi can win the game. But like I said, I think that's the kind of team, too, that I don't think they'll quit in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to keep firing and throwing the ball and running their offense. And, you know, Bama's up, you know, 23-24. I think there's a real good shot Mississippi could score late and get the dough. And that's kind of what I'm looking for right there. I don't see Mississippi fighting them tooth and nail all the way through. But I see Bama with, you know, a lead. I don't know about how comfortable, but a lead. And Mississippi, keep firing and, get the ball in the end zone once or twice late.
Yeah. And, Chris, something that I'm really interested in, you know, because everybody around here that's an Alabama fan, and Jason gets sick of hearing it, is talking about two of this and two of that and what a great quarterback and all those kind of things. Well, he's played a game and a half, but he has never gone on the road and played in a hostile environment like what he's going to see. You know, Ole Miss fans, they're going to be so jacked up. So I'm interested in seeing how he handles it. I think he'll do fine. But, you know, I think it's a little different when you're playing at a neutral field and then you're playing at home as opposed to playing on the road.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. You never know it till you actually see it. And the fact of the matter is, I was checking my numbers here, too. I give Mississippi 4.5 for a home field advantage. That's one of the highest in the board.
Wow.
I think fives are my highest. I gave one to Penn State and Boise State. You know, but other than that, I think Oklahoma I gave a 5. You know, but other than that, Mississippi's right there. That's a hostile environment. You're right. And like I said, it's always hostile when Bama goes somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
They ain't going to ease up for that. So this is going to be a tough place for a young kid who's never really experienced it. So, you know, I think he'll do fine, too, but, you know, we got to see it first.
Right. Hey, Chris, and, you know, still staying on Alabama for a minute. You know, Alabama's kind of on an island, you know, kind of out there by themselves, and they've kind of set, you know, college football, they've taken it to a standard that, you know, nobody else is able to reach right now. But my question is, you take Bama and put them on a neutral field, give me two or three teams that you think could conceivably beat Alabama on a neutral field.
Well, three popped to mind, and you know, I don't think it would, you know, startle anybody. But Georgia, Clemson, and Ohio State, I think would all be, probably just a notch or two below Alabama. And there's always variables. You know, what kind of injuries we're looking at? Is there any weather situation? Some things like that. And sometimes if a team bursts out to a lead, you know, because Bama's used to playing with a lead.
Right.
You know, that kind of changed the game a little bit, you know. So those kind of things all come into play. But those are the top three that would come right to my mind. And I think all three of those would be very, very credible opponents.
Right.
And I think if any of those three did beat Alabama, I would not be all that surprised. And I tell you, Auburn's right there, too. I got them.
I was worried about you, Chris. I was fixing to mention Auburn.
Nah, don't worry. I'm okay, you know. Jason, don't worry. But I got them ranked right up there, too, you know. But, of course, those two are definitely going to play. We know they're going to play. So we'll see about, like, in November exactly what those two teams have in store for each other. But, once again, a lot of football left to be played, so there's a lot of variables. We'll see what the injuries – you know, that's the number one thing. And judging a team at the end of the season, how did the injuries affect them? And, if Auburn stays real healthy, I think they'll have a good shot. And I think, like, you know, we've talked about it. You know, Bama just has been at the near or at the top of the recruiting wars, you know, 7-8 years now. They got a, you know, their cupboard's full, so they could probably withstand injuries better than just about any team in the country.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let me with one of those teams that you mentioned there being Clemson. Let me ask you this: after last week's game that they have at Texas A&M, did you? And I'm just throwing this one out. Did you lose a little love for Clemson, or did Texas A&M, did they gain a little bit more respect in your eyes?
I gained respect for Texas A&M, you know, and I think that I think Jimbo Fisher's been a good coach, you know, maybe not a great coach, but pretty good. And, you know, Sumlin's had his ups and downs. And I think, you know, and that's why he lost his job at A&M is – I think if you look at the full body of work there, probably a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But even saying that, and I think we've talked about it a couple times on this show, you know, he recruited really well. You know, you're a Texas kid, and you want to stay in Texas, and you want to still play the best competition out there. Well, you could do that by going to Texas A&M because you're going to play that SEC schedule, and you get to stay home in Texas. So I really thought, you know, someone did okay. He was inconsistent, but okay. But he still had a pretty good roster of players. And Jimbo Fisher come in, and like I said, I've never been his biggest fan.
Right.
But I thought he did a pretty good job, and I did not lose respect for Clemson. I definitely gained some respect for Texas A&M. I think that's going to be a pretty tough out for SEC teams the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree. I really thought Clemson would handle them with much ease, or much easier. The question, I guess, for Texas A&M is, can you sustain that kind of effort all season long on the road in the SEC? If you can, you're going to have a really good football team. If you're not, you're probably going to be average.
Well, I think they're going to be good. I wouldn't be surprised if they pull out 8 wins during the course of this season, which I think is a really good accomplishment for a first-year coach coming into that league and that division. But I would not be surprised if they wind up with about 8 wins. I think that's a pretty good team. They're going to be a formidable opponent for a lot of guys.
Hey, Chris, Sumlin may be hunting a job after this season. Hey, let me ask you something, Chris. Last weekend, a terrible weekend for games. This weekend, a little better. We got some games worth watching. But according to Vegas money, where the dollars are rolling in, what are the top three games in Vegas? And if you don't mind telling us, who is the money going in these three?
Well, right now, Bama is probably the number one game. Let me ring that up. Yeah, we got quite a bit of money, mostly on Bama, but you know, you got a lot of Mississippi supporters too.
Right.
So that's been a pretty big game. The Ohio State game is another one. Let me find that one. Game 203. Yeah, there's a lot of money on this one. Side total money line, and there's a lot of intrigue, of course, with this is gonna be Urban Meyer's last game under the suspension, playing a pretty good TCU team. I think his number's gotten a little high. It's up to 13. We're up there. We opened it we opened at 12, up to 13 with money. I think it's a little high. Don't give TCU the full home field advantage playing in Arlington, but still, there's gonna be a lot of TCU fans there. There'll be some Ohio State fans there too. But I think it's going to be a tough game. I think TCU kind of hangs in there with them. I think the number got a little bit high. Let me see what other games. USC and Texas, that's still getting a lot of money, although both teams have been pretty disappointing so far this year. Oklahoma-Iowa State getting a little bit of dough too. You know, a lot of people feel Oklahoma is going to be one of the one of the teams challenging for that championship. Well, we got Iowa State's been a pretty good little dog every once in a while, especially at Oklahoma. They've come up and bitten them a few times. So those are the games. Let me see. There's probably one more I'm missing.
Hey, while you're looking, I've got to give you a shout out, and we're going to mention it a little later. But man, your call on Buffalo this year has been spot on. I've took money to the house 2 weeks in a row on Buffalo. Who would have ever dreamed it?
Not the Buffalo Bills.
Well, no, not the Buffalo Bills.
I appreciate that. You don't want me to pick, Auburn or Alabama as a surprise team. Oh, by the way, I failed to make two more games here. First of all, the Auburn game, of course. You know, that's going to be a big one. I don't think that's anybody's surprise.
Who's the money on that one, Chris?
Money's on Auburn. We opened 9.5. We're up to 10.
Okay.
So money's pretty good on Auburn there. Oh, and one more that I tell you, one game I'm dying to see: Boise State and Oklahoma State. You know, that, I think that's a really interesting matchup. And those are the kind of games I really love. You know, you get a really good quality power, you know, non-power five team that's been good for like 10 years or 15 years even, Boise right. State. Going into Oak State, I think that's going to be a terrific game because I think Oak State's pretty good too. You know, so I'm really dying to see that one. That's really one of my favorite games of the weekend. I'm dying to see that because rooting for Boise a little bit. Like I said, I spent all those years in Reno. And, boy, they kicked Reno's butt pretty good most of those years, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for that program, what they've done. And that should be a good game. And, you know, and that game's drawn a lot of money, too.
If Boise would change the color of their field, oh, I might get pulled for it. That is impossible to watch on TV.
You can't watch it.
Mm-mm. It is terrible on TV.
Yeah, that's I'd rather see them on the road. I hate watching those games in Boise. Right. It's terrible.
Yeah, you almost need a welder's helmet to watch that. You know? I mean, it's so blinding. It's awful.
Hey, Chris, what team or teams ranked inside, and I got a feeling I know one you're going to mention. What team or teams ranked inside the top 10 right now stands the best chance to be a victim of the upset this weekend? Go ahead and say it. I'm a big boy. Auburn.
No, I mean, yeah, they got a chance. They're 10-point favorites. They're playing a high-quality SEC team in their division. You know, of course, that's probably one of them. God, I guess you put the gun to my head.
Put it to your temple.
I guess I got
to
pick that one. Yeah, geez. But yeah, I mean, I still like them to win the game. But I guess that's the one if you had to pick one. I mean, it's not going to be Georgia. I don't think it's going to be Clemson. I don't think it's going to be Alabama. Ohio State, I guess, could lose. That's the one that, that's going to be right there. That's going to be.
There you go. That's better.
That's going to be a war, yeah.
Yeah, and for those folks that may want to know the top 10, at number 10, now this is the AP poll. At number 10 is Washington, 9 is Stanford, 8 is Notre Dame, 7 Auburn, 6 Wisconsin, 5 Oklahoma, 4 Ohio State, 3 Georgia, 2 Clemson, number 1 Alabama. That's top 10.
Yeah. I think you got it.
You have to save that one, Jason, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Chris, it's time, or it's getting closer to the time where you pull out that crystal ball and you start making some predictions for us. So I'm going to throw some games out at you, and I want to see what your thoughts are. First one.
Okay, fire away.
All right, Vandy plus 14 at Notre Dame.
Boy, I really love Notre Dame week one. Didn't like them so much week two. I thought they looked pretty pedestrian. Vandy's been a lot better than I thought this year. I really thought they'd be awfully far down, but they're playing decent ball. I guess I'd take Vandy with a little bit of a shot, but I wouldn't go crazy over it.
Okay. Florida State minus 3 at Syracuse.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think they got the wrong favorite in this game. I really like Syracuse a lot here.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's any fluke what's happening to Florida State. You know, I got a buddy who's like a big coaching evaluator. I probably mentioned him on the show a couple times, but he told me Willie Taggart will not be a good coach in Florida State. He's way in over his head. And, I mean, what can you say?
He sure
so
looks
far,
like it.
Yeah. And I like Syracuse. Babers. The coach up there at Syracuse, I think, can do a really good job. I think he's done a good job. And I think they got the wrong favorite in this game. I like Syracuse a lot in this one.
Hey, before we go, Ronnie, and Chris, do me a favor if you get the chance to watch Florida State. And I may be get accused of being a racist for saying this, but I'm just going to call it like I see it. I always do. Watch Taggart and just see if he doesn't look like he's as lost as a goose in a hellstorm on that sideline. I mean, it's like he's searching for an answer from somebody. You can just see lost written across his forehead.
Well, that's what they've been for 2 weeks.
Oh, it's bad.
Like they were saying, they lost his ball in high weeds.
Right.
So, like I said,
my buddy, he doesn't say anything without numbers, and he's got numbers behind me. So
right.
I'm telling you, because Taggart is not that good a coach. He's been a good recruiter, and he's been the kind of guy that's had, you know, better athletes than the other guys, but that does not make you a good coach. And he's up against a guy who's a pretty good coach here. And I, like I said, I think they got the wrong favorite. I really do.
I do. Hey, Chris, I'm gonna throw something else at you before I get you with a couple other picks. Yeah, and talking about Florida State, Is there anybody whatsoever that can compete with Clemson in the ACC now after we've seen Florida State and Miami? I mean, who is there? Is there anybody that can be competitive?
Well, I think your only chance is Virginia Tech, mostly because they play great defense. And, you know, it's one of those games, you know, we kind of talked about it earlier. Clemson's going to be one of those teams that's used to going out to the front and just kind of polishing you off. But Virginia Tech has a really good defense. If they could hang with Clemson and make Clemson look them in the eye, you know, they got a pretty good team. Their offense isn't that great, but I think Clemson, you know, it's going to be a ways down the road, but Clemson may have trouble scoring against them, and, you know how those teams can be.
Right.
Sometimes you get frustrated or whatever, and, you know, you talk about coaching staff. I think Virginia Tech has a great coaching staff, and that'd be the one team I think has a shot. Not a great shot, but they got a shot.
Yeah.
Nobody else do I see in that in that conference. All, you know, there's not really anybody else.
I mean, you think about it, is there anybody else that could even keep it with? If it's just a normal game and you know nothing strange happens as far as turnovers, is there anybody that can keep it within seven? I mean, I don't see it.
I don't think there's a chance. No.
Yeah.
Okay,
here's my next one. LSU plus 9.5 or 10-ish, whatever the case may be, at Auburn.
Well, you know, like I said, that's right about what I made the number. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. So if I had, you know, gun to my head, I'd probably take the dog, just thinking it's going to be low-scoring.
Okay. All right, and then the last one of those, Alabama minus 21 at Ole Miss.
Well, I like Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going to hang in there with them. And like I said, I know their, you know, defense is not much to write home about, but I think that team can really put up some points. And, you know, I think if Bama has a fairly substantial lead, you know, third and fourth quarter, I think Miami keeps coming at them. And I think they score to keep that game probably maybe a little closer than what it really is as far as competition-wise. But I think they get the dough. I like Mississippi in this game.
Okay. All right. It's time for Chris's picks. Now, these may not be, you know, number one on most, you know, most watch list, but these are going to be the ones that might make your billfold a little thicker. And Chris, Chris, I have to ask, did Buffalo make the picks this week?
Buffalo did not make the
picks.
Oh, man.
Buffalo did not make the picks.
They finally caught up to them a little bit, so I'm leaving them off my list. I'm still watching them, but they're a little bit off my list right now.
Oh, man. And we mentioned a little bit earlier before the first football game ever kicked off, Chris told Jason and I, look out for Buffalo. They are a sleeper.
And I think somebody giggled, didn't
they?
I think two guys giggled, not just one. I think it was two guys.
Oh, yeah, I know I giggled. I was talking about myself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I think you're the guy sitting next to you giggled.
Yeah. I did out loud, and
I thought they went ahead and legalized marijuana out there in Nevada. So.
Well, they did, but I still don't partake. I gotta confess. During my years, my friend, a long time ago.
And folks, we're talking. Okay. We're not talking about the Buffalo Bills of the NFL. We're talking about the
Buffalo
of the of college football.
They're the Buffalo Bulls. They're the Buffalo Bulls.
I think that's correct.
So, all right, here's a couple games I got this week. I like Duke over Baylor, getting 6.5. Okay.
Wow.
Got it.
Here's another, you know, I think that's going to be, I think Duke's the right side there. I got North Texas against Arkansas, getting 7.
Whoa.
I think Arkansas is pretty bad. And North Texas, another one of those sleeper teams, I think pretty good little outfit. They're going to go into Arkansas. And, you know, chips on their shoulders. These kids didn't get recruited by SEC teams.
Right.
They got a vulnerable one here. So I think I like North Texas getting the dough. And here I'm going with Herm Edwards and Arizona State. That's a pretty good team laying 5 against San Diego State. So that's kind of like one of the surprise coaches of the year. But he's done a pretty darn good job at Arizona State. And I think right now this team's playing some pretty good ball. They go into San Diego State, which, by the way, is a pretty good little program out on the West Coast.
Right.
But I think Arizona State beats them. So those are probably my three top games this week.
Hey, I like that last pick. I really do. That may be a bad sign because I like it, but I like that Arizona State pick.
Hey, Chris, did you see that coming when they hired Herm Edwards at Arizona State? I mean, did that raise your eyebrows? I mean, I was like, Herm Edwards? I was
well,
kind of shocked.
I'll tell you what, they recorded it on VSiN, and I was on Brent's show, and I said, listen, I'm not sure about this year. I'm really not, because he lost, like, two of his coordinators, which I think is big for a guy like Herm, who's kind of been out of football for a couple years.
Right.
But I said, I think when they look back 5 years from now, they're going to say, yep, we hired the right guy. I got to tell you, so far so good. He looks pretty good back there. And, you know, I was in a seminar one time when Herm spoke, and I remember walking out of there telling my girlfriend at the time, I said, you know, if I had a kid that could play football, and Herm was in my living room, and he said, I want your son to go play for me. I know what I would tell my kid. Son, you're playing for Coach Edwards.
Wow. Go pack your bags.
I think he's a hell of a guy. I really do. I like him a lot, and he's a good speaker. And, you know, I know he had his flaws as far as being a head coach, and those kind of guys do need to have good coordinators. And I didn't know anything about the coordinators he wound up with. So I know he lost two good ones who were there. So I shouldn't have made any, like, snap judgments. But it looks like these guys are all doing a pretty good job. I think this team's going to be pretty good. And, you know, like I said, you look back 5 years, I'm thinking Arizona State's going to say, yeah, we hired the right guy.
You think Arizona might be wanting to trade?
Yeah, I guarantee
that. I think Arizona anybody. Might not be saying the same thing in 5 years.
Absolutely.
Hey, Chris, I got five questions that I just came up with sitting here as Ronnie and you were talking, and so these may make sense. They may not make sense, but actually these five questions are predictions for next week. We'll find out how you done on them. So we're going to let Ronnie start it off since he's the home team here. All right, Ronnie, which number is higher this week, Ole Miss field goal attempts or Alabama punts?
Higher?
Yeah, this
Ole Miss field goal attempts.
Ole Miss field goal
Alabama's
attempts.
Not going to punt.
Yeah. Yeah. It might get two. Well, okay. That's a tough one.
Chris?
But see, Mississippi's going to have to score touchdowns. That's the difference.
That's true, too.
All right, I'm going to go the opposite of Ronnie. I'm going to say more Mississippi punts.
Mississippi field goal attempts.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go the other way.
Okay.
I'm going to say more Alabama punts.
Okay. All right, Chris, you'll start us off on number two here, and I'm just using first names because I can't pronounce Tua's last name. So, does Tua or Stidham to throw an interception this weekend? Will it be one of them, one of the two, both of them, or neither?
I'm going to go with both of them.
Both of them.
I'm going to go with both.
Okay. I'm going to go with Stidham because. And here's why.
Of course.
Here's why. LSU's secondary is as good, if not the best, secondary in the conference. And Ole Miss defense is atrocious. That's my only reason.
Fair enough. All right, Ronnie, you start us on number three.
Okay.
Over under here, missed kicks in the Alabama, Ole Miss, and the Auburn-LSU game. The number is three. Over, under, or right on the nose?
Oh, it'll be over because Alabama missed two extra points, you know, so already. So that's easy. Over.
Okay, Chris?
There's going to be a lot of them in that Alabama game, that's for sure. Yeah, I guess I got to go over, too, yeah.
Does that count extra points or field goal attempts?
Any kick.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's why I have to interpret it. Any kick, okay.
Any kick. Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Okay, back to Chris. Team to score the most points this week, Alabama, Oklahoma, or Oregon?
Ooh. Who's Oregon playing?
I don't even remember now, but it's not much of anybody.
Yeah, no, there's not much that they're going against. Well, let me...
If you see it, tell us who it is.
Off my head, I got to go with Oregon, I think. That team could really put up some points, and yeah, I think that's another little bit of a surprise team. Pretty good team, Oregon.
Okay. Ronnie?
I'll have to go with Alabama.
Here they are. San Jose State. Yeah, they will annihilate that team.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's what you get for picking Alabama.
Can I change my answer?
Yeah, good luck, Ronnie. I don't know. I think I got that one.
I just lost that. I'm down one for sure.
All right. I think back to you.
Yeah.
Back to Ronnie. Which is higher? Which is a higher number Saturday? Alabama rushing yards or Auburn passing yards?
I'll take the rushing yards.
Do you know that you pick Alabama?
I go the passing yards. Chris, I'm going passing yards.
All right. And that wraps it up. All right. Chris, is this a surprise? Every pick that Alabama was involved in, Ronnie picked in favor of Alabama.
Well, how can you pick against
them? I'm shocked. I can't believe it. I don't know what you did with the real Ronnie, but bring him back next week. Yeah, totally shocked.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Chris, one thing before I let you go. Did you happen to catch or see online the ESPN, the biggest NFL disappointments, the one-hit wonders?
No, I did not.
And I'm trying to think of the other name. You guys can probably come up with it. It had, of course, Robert Griffin Jr., and there was another quarterback. Who is it that is the biggest disappointment in recent years? I mean, I can't come up with it. And I tried to find it just now, and I can't find it.
Mm. Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Washington State product.
Oh, man, who was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He's trying to rehabilitate himself, making the circuit.
He got to breaking in houses and all kind of things, didn't he?
Yeah, he was doing crazy stuff. You know, I wound up talking to him one day, and I mean, he seems contrite. He seems like he's a real effort, you know, so I'm kind of rooting for the kid.
Okay. Well, all right, Chris, man, we're going to let you go and let you get ready for your next show. This man is busy, but
that's right.
We can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us each week. And not only did you join us today, you brought Rain with you when you came. So we were
going to
leave.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks a bunch, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, guys. You guys have a great weekend, too. I'll talk to you next
week. Have a good one.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Chris Andrews, the man with the plan.
Our buddy from Vegas.
He makes doing this job a lot easier.
You got that right.
He just kick back and listen to the man.
That's it.
All right. 4:49 coming up on 4:50. We'll be right back. A little more sports talk before Rex joins us and puts some fish in the boat. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Coleman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Coleman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Coleman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617.
860-5617. Gateway Mortgage. In MLS number 338177. Equal housing lender.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP Coleman.
.455 back with you, Sports Talk Live. The number 737-9505. If you've got an opinion on anything, whether it be sports, politics, or the weather,
that's right.
Give us a call. Let us know.
We take all callers.
That's right. We're not going to turn anything down.
That's exactly right. Hey, Jason. You know, most people that's in tune to high school football probably knows the teams that won last week, but there may be a few people out on the road who don't know. So, we'll go through that, the winners of last week's high school games, and then our picks and how we did for this week. There was Good Hope at Cordova, and Good Hope was the winner there. Jason and I both got that one correct. Hansville versus J.B. Pennington this past week. We both picked Hansville, and we were incorrect, badly incorrect.
By a long shot.
By a very long shot. Holly Pond played midfield. Midfield won that game. Jason and I both got that one correct. Very good football game. Close football game. Holly Pond is going to have as good a year in this county as anybody's going to have.
And while we're talking about high school football, Ronnie, tell them where Friday Night Live will be this week.
Yes, the Friday Night football game I've lost it. 95.5 will be covering this week. Is that Cold Springs?
That comes with old age.
That's right? Exactly right. Cold Springs is where, if you want to check out the Cold Springs score, turn, tune in to 99.5. Right? 95.5. I'm sorry. Right here. 95.5. Right,
Ronnie,
here.
We're docking your pay this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm struggling. So they're going to be their live game tip.
Tip.
Kick off.
We're going to tip the football game off on 99.
I must have went outside and smoked some myself. 7 o'clock, I can at least get the time right. 7 o'clock, kickoff, Cold Springs.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Let's do a do-over, guys.
Oh, me. Thanks for joining us again at 95.5. Oh, me. Cold Springs at home against Summerton Christian.
I didn't mean to throw you such a curveball.
Yeah, it's just a challenging question you threw me there. I wasn't prepared for that. So, again, that's going to be the broadcast this weekend. Go pray Summerton Christian. All right.
I made it pretty good that you said tip off.
Well, you know, sometimes when you think Cold Springs, you think basketball a lot of the time. So, hey, Vimont.
I hope they have a lot of really good footballs.
I do too. I do too. All right. Vimont played this past week, played Westbrook Christian. Vimont came out with a big win, kicked a field goal late to win the football game. Jason and I both got that one correct. West Point played Hamilton, and Hamilton won that football game. Jason got that right. I missed it. Cold Springs beat Southeastern this past week. We both got that correct. Coleman played at Decatur. Decatur got the best of the Bearcats. We both got that one right. Fairview went to DAR. And we both missed that one. We picked Fairview, and DAR got the best of Fairview. So for the week, I was 5-3. Makes me 10-5 so far on a young high school football season. Jason went 6-2, and he is 11-4. So Jason is one game up on me with high school.
Give me time, I'll redeem myself, and everybody can see what kind of competition I'm up against. Don't even know if we're playing football or basketball.
Don't even know the terminology. So, at the end of the season, we keep with these totals, and the winner gets a free steak dinner from the loser. So, right now, Jason has the best of me. So,
Randy, I want you to look right here, and I wish everybody could see this, but I didn't know Holly Pond had a hockey team. Does that not say Broncos return to ice?
Broncos return to the ice. And it's the same color.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know.
It really actually threw me off there for a second. I thought, what in the world?
Thought it was something like the, what's that, the website or that's always has funny stuff that's not accurate, you know, something B, whatever it's called.
Babylonian B or something like that.
So, but those are the scores from this past week. And then later in the show, we will tell you who everybody's playing this week, and we'll make our predictions for this week. So
that's the website, Ronnie, that reported a guy had lived out a life sentence of 99 years. He outlived it, was released from jail when he was 116.
Oh, man. Give the guy credit, you know.
You know, I think Jeffrey is just not going to call us after this past weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the case, you know. He's the biggest Florida State fan there is in the state of Alabama, I guess.
And he calls each week.
He calls every week, but this week he's...
Samford got him. Oh, me.
They would have really gotten him if Samford hadn't turned it over about three or four times.
It looked dark there.
Four minutes to go in the game, Samford's still ahead.
Yeah.
So
I thought they had it wrapped up. I thought the game was Samford's.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Jason, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the Alabama and Auburn game. We've got Chris's opinion on his game, how he thinks they're going to play out. I'm interested to see what you think with LSU coming into Auburn. I want to ask you this question. Whom is under the most pressure, if you think, to get a win here? Is it Gus Malzahn or is it Ed Orgeron? And whatever your choice is, what you're thinking as that?
There's no doubt it's Gus. I mean, Gus is, after losing that game last year, taking his foot off the gas and losing it, and a lot expected out of Auburn. LSU, the underdog, they're coming in, you know. Well, really, what we got to lose, everybody's expecting us to lose. So I think Gus has got a lot to lose here and there. And really, Coach O, I don't think it's got much to lose.
LSU, their schedule is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's brutal. It's got three or four losses on it, probably best, but at the end of the road, if they don't have three or four losses, they've had a fantastic season. My question is, if they have three or four losses, is that going to be good enough for him to keep his job?
For now.
You think he'd keep it another year?
Oh, yeah. I think if, unless something, the wheels just completely come off the wagon, I think he gets another year. But, you know, LSU's like Alabama and Auburn, they're not going to put up with it long.
No. Okay, so you think more? There's more pressure on Gus to win.
I think Gus is I'm not going to say a must have because he just signed a new contract. But
that's right.
You can bet.
Speaking of that, what's the buyout? Do you remember? And I'm just throwing this out. It was enormous.
Oh yeah. It's not going to be a buyout. He's there.
Yeah.
So my theory on that is, if Nick Saban gets tired of him, let's say that he outplays Alabama, that a Nick could buy him out. So.
Saban could probably buy him out. There's no doubt about that.
That's true. But don't
feel sorry for the universities, because I read today in 2016, Auburn, not anywhere close to the amount of money that Alabama goes through their athletic department, but Auburn had a $15 or $16 million profit in their athletic department 2016 because of football.
Sure.
I mean, football carries the rest of the sports.
And in many ways, in a lot of places, that's the same in high school.
Yeah.
In many cases, you know, your football program has to...
And so I'm thinking Alabama probably at least twice that.
Yeah.
So they probably made a $30, $40 million probably. Profit.
You know, they're doing a $600 million expansion or an update or upgrade, whatever, on the campus. So, it's truly going to be...
And for anybody that says Nick Saban's paid too much or Gus is paid too much, look at the money they're bringing into the university. And if you get an employee that can bring in that kind of money, they could double Saban's pay. And
he's still worth it.
Right.
You know, from the income that he's brought in, you know, to this state. Well, you wouldn't like to hear that, but
to the state.
And certainly to, you know, Tuscaloosa and, you know, SEC football.
And I hate to get into politics, but like the governor's race and the mayor of Tuscaloosa,
right?
He has been in as mayor at perfect time while Saban's been the coach.
Oh my goodness, yeah!
All the money's rolling in, everything's lovely. I'm not saying he's not a good mayor or wouldn't be a good governor.
Sure.
I don't know, but he's just had it in heaven so far. So.
Right, Jason. Let me ask you about the Alabama and Ole Miss game. You know, I try to be, and of course you laugh at me for saying it, but I try to be objective sometimes, not all the time, but some of the time. And it's a 21-point spread. Do you truly see Alabama winning by that much or more?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yep. I didn't until last week, and when I saw the score last week.
Yeah.
I think Alabama, I don't think myself Ole Miss is going to score that much. I think maybe two touchdowns, might get a field goal there. I think they'll be in the 14-17 range.
Okay. My guess, I would, and it's not because it balanced 21-point spread. For the last couple of days, I thought, you know, Ole Miss could put 21 up. They could score three touchdowns. They could put three on the board against Bama. And I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen. Will it be more than that? I think
Alabama will be in the 50s.
I think you're right. I mean, look, Ole Miss nationally. Now again, this is after, you know, a couple football games, so these stats are skewed. You know, they're not completely accurate. But they rank, as I said earlier, they rank 119th. In total defense, and there's 130 teams. They're averaging giving up 34 points a game to Texas.
How many times can you give up 40 whatever points and still cover a 4-touchdown spread? That's unheard of.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you put that in perspective, they're averaging giving up 34 against Texas Tech and Southern Illinois. Could Bama theoretically hang 70 on them?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying they will. But, I mean, I don't know that would be Saban's intent.
Of it is Ole Miss, and not only weak in their secondary, they can't stop a run either.
No.
I mean, I think I could gain 10 yards Ole Miss.
And I looked earlier. They average giving up over 500 yards passing the game. And I think it was 300-something rushing.
Hey. Score update. Boston College, Wake Forest, an early start today. Started at 4:30 Central Time. 4 minutes and 8 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Boston College 7, Wake Forest 7. So Wake Forest has, I know Boston College has the ball on their own 21-yard line, 2nd and 17.
For those who can't be home to
That's
watch
right.
that.
And not that a lot of people are going to rush home to watch.
I know, and I think there's some.
Boston
I think there's then there's some other games on tonight as well. I mean, it's not that's not the you know the only ticket in town or the only game,
well, game
that
I
can
think
be watched.
Was a 7:30 kick tonight, and I think was moved up 2 hours because of the storm.
Okay.
I wonder what kind of crowd they've got at that game.
Lord,
I would like to see.
I'm sure it's.
There are some nuts out there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There would be some nuts out there if it was hitting the stadium right now.
That's exactly right. You are correct. And, you know, like I say, that's not the only game on tonight. It might be the only one, you know, you may be able to watch. Another game that's on is Old Dominion at Charlotte. If they're playing, it says live, so I guess they are. That's on ESPN3. And then one that you probably, I guess, can't watch, Tennessee Tech is playing Utah State. So tomorrow night you can also catch a game on ESPN. That's Georgia State at Memphis. Georgia State and Memphis. So
what was the Memphis – because I remember I had them in something, a parlay or something. What did they do last week?
Memphis last week.
Didn't they play Navy?
They did play Navy. They lost 21-20.
That's what I thought. They cost me.
They cost you.
Yep.
Darn old Shipman.
That's right. Boy, Ronnie, have you watched any of the NFL?
You know, I watched very
That's me. I
very
watched very little.
Little.
I did have to, I vowed to myself I wasn't going to watch any,
yeah.
at least for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to care.
Yes,
but
that's true.
Make myself
it's a matter
better.
Of principle. Did you happen to see some of the Green Bay?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
But I was going to ask you, did you happen to see any of the Cowboys?
Not a single play. I don't even know who won.
I don't think Dallas could score if they were out there by themselves.
Oh, is that bad?
Oh, it was bad. Bad.
Well,
I forgot. It seemed like it may have been the third quarter before they crossed the 50-yard line.
Oh, no, and they cut Bo Scarborough.
Yeah.
And then I think they may have brought him back or something.
Off.
So.
Off.
Yep.
The music's playing.
That's
you
right.
know what that means. It's time to pay some bills. So let's
Lots of bills.
Get it done. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company. Servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanAppliancerepair.com.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
You're invited to the Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. Hear pastors such as Oney Cooper of Restoration Church in Hansville, Dana Sarver of Church on the Rock in Barre, Kentucky, Jenny Poupre of Faith Restoration Church in Hansville, and Lisa Jones of New Ground Fellowship in Coleman. This is a women's conference, but men are invited to attend. Enjoy praise and worship by Oney Cooper Jr. and band. Come expecting a mighty move of God. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. For more information, call 256-338-2245. 256-338-2245. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
That is Chicago, is that right,
Jay? Yes, sir.
Hey, what about that? Name that team.
I'm the man with the plan. 5:13. We're working our way toward 5:30 when Rex joins us.
That's right.
Ronnie, you got anything you want to hit on?
Yeah, well, what I am excited about or happy about is we got a pretty good shower of rain here.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
I think I also got some at my home, so it's always good for... Always good for the lawns and the yards and the gardens and those kind of things. So
I want to tell you a story, and has nothing to do with sports, but see if you can figure this one out. Or if anybody is listening, I would pay
mm-hmm.
for somebody to figure this out. Our swimming pool, you know, we built it. It's a year and a half old, something like that. It's a concrete in-ground swimming pool.
It's not an above-ground little simple one.
No. Okay. And so, and it's got a lot of piping. I'm talking about a lot of piping because we've got a waterfall and a slide with a built-in water and all this stuff and then a hot tub that overflows. But anyway, so I'm just telling you that to tell you there's more piping in there than I've ever seen put in one small area. So
would that be PVC?
Yeah, PVC.
Okay.
Of course, they test it and all. Everything tests good. They do the concrete, the design on the concrete and all. Screen it in. I mean, everything's closed up. We're in good shape. Well, I thought to start with, I had a leak on my waterfall. And I was going to get him to fix it, and I thought, no worse than this. We'll just run the waterfall when we want to. If we don't, you know, we'll just leave it off.
Yeah.
Okay. Then this year, our pool started dropping. I was losing 2 to 3 inches of water every night. We had to put water in the pool every day. Yeah, every day we had to put water in the pool. So I get our pool guy back out, tell him about it. He agrees it's a leak, wants me to get American Leak Detection to come out and check it. Well, I put it off. Okay, this week now, Wednesday, I think, I know since last Thursday, there's not been any water put in our pool, and it's still sitting at the same level it was sitting at.
Your place is haunted.
So how did that happen? Jay, that is bad. Show that to Ronnie. he's got a picture of Alabama's new field goal kicker that we'll keep private.
Yeah, exactly.
But how can that be? How can I lose that much water? And if you figure it by the internet shows, it's about 400 gallons a day. My water bill was $150 last month.
I figured it'd be more than that.
$150.
Of course, that's a lot for two people.
Yeah. And now we're at a week and have not put no water in it.
Is it salt water?
Mm-mm. Nope.
You got critters in there drinking, laughing at
it. I guess. I don't
know. Is there a herd of cattle coming through using it?
The only thing I can think is the waterfall valve, we run it Labor Day.
Yeah.
And when we turned it off, it's automated with your phone, so that valve may not have closed all the way. And some of that water may have been going through that pipe and then leaking out instead of running out, and so we never knew it.
Oh, but it's too high tech for me.
I don't know. It blows my mind.
Oh, man.
So if anybody can figure that out, give me a call, and I would be glad to buy you a sucker.
I hear you. Hey, Jason, back to college football here. You know, that's, and again, we are just a couple of weeks in, but for. I always like to keep up with this, you know, who's the offensive leader, who's, defensive leader, who's got the most rushing yards and those kind of things. So here's kind of where it sits right now as far as passing yardage. And if you want to try to guess some of these, we're going to go through the top five.
I'm not going to guess. I don't know.
You wouldn't know any of them. Okay. Number five is Will Greer from West Virginia.
I wouldn't have knew him.
This one right here was kind of interesting. Number four, Jordan Ta'amua, if that's correct. That is the quarterback from
Ole Miss, who is also Hawaiian.
I knew he sounded Hawaiian.
Be two Hawaiian quarterbacks playing against one another.
What are the odds of that?
What are the odds of that? But you know, hey, they've turned out some great quarterbacks. You know, you take these two kids, and then you think of Marcus Mariota, who's with the Tennessee Titans. There's another one. So Hawaii, you know, they
Mariota's hurt right now.
He is hurt. He's gotten hurt, so he's out. But anyway, the kid from Ole Miss is at number four. Number three is Mason Fine. I'm not sure. Mason is from North Texas. He's at North Texas. The number one leading passer right now is Cole McDonald. You know where he's from?
Hawaii.
Buck Tussle. He's from Hawaii.
He's from Hawaii, too.
He's from Hawaii, too. That's right. The if you are interested in maybe where some of the local players may fall, I will see if I can find some of the local guys, you know, like a Jared Stidham.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a quarterback from Holly Pond.
No, not quite there. So I do not see him at this moment. I know he's on this list.
23. Number 23. He's 23 and something because I seen it.
Okay.
It may have been 23rd in interceptions, but I saw 23rd.
No, it's not him. So maybe I can find, you know, some of those individual players later. That's offense. Rushing, you know who's leading the country in rushing? No, you do not.
No idea.
Jonathan Taylor from the University of Wisconsin.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the little actor.
I think it's his son.
Wow.
I think it's his son. And then this will be surprising. At number four is Scotty Phillips. Scotty Phillips plays at Ole Miss. So,
boy, there's going to be a lot changed.
So, you know, at this point in the season, and it's very, very, very early, the number four passer, offensive yards, quarterback is Jordan, and the number four rusher is
if you are an Ole Miss
from Ole Miss, yeah.
Now, realistic, are you blind enough to sit there and think, you know, we've got the number one passer in the nation, and we've got the number four rusher,
yeah.
Or are you thinking, hey, we haven't played anybody, we're fixing to get our tails
kicked? I hope that's what the case is. You know, but Texas Tech's not terrible.
You know, no, but they're not
put up
good.
Some points.
Anybody, yeah. I don't care who you are, if you give up 70 points,
yeah.
No, 70 points, if you give up 40, what was it?
The average? 34.
Yeah, but what they give up 40?
Against Southern Illinois?
Yeah, the last game.
That was Southern Illinois.
How much? What did they give up? 47?
I think that's what it was.
If you give up 47 to Southern Illinois, something's bad wrong.
You're right. Hey, Jason, switching to, this is going to be laughable in many ways. If we looked at the top 10 teams, defensive leaders, not individual, but teams at this point in the season, number 10, and this one wouldn't be surprising because they're always good, TCU. Always.
Still, defensively, I wouldn't think they'd be in the top 10. Did you say that was defense?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. They are always solid defensively. So they're at number 10. Number 9 is Iowa. Eh. 8 is Nebraska. Number 7, Miami.
Oh, no.
But it's going to get worse. Number 6, Washington State.
Washington State's never played defense.
Never. Number 5, Louisiana. I guess they're assuming that's LSU.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah. That may be pretty accurate. They're pretty good. Number 4, Utah.
That's another team that's never played any defense.
Number 3, Iowa State. Now, the next two are what's really going to get you.
Number 2 and number 1.
Number 2. At this point in the season, the leading defensive team is number 2, Toledo.
Oh, my goodness.
Toledo.
I can't wait for number 1.
Number 1 gets even better. The number 1 ranked defensive team in all of college football, there's 130 teams. Akron. You know
who have they played?
Oh,
I mean, it's got to be somebody really bad.
Well, they have played. Well, they were fortunate. Their first game
they got a forfeit.
Was canceled.
Ah, now they're on to something.
That's it. And their second game was who in the world? Morgan State Beavers.
Now we know
they played one game. They beat the Morgan State Beavers.
So their average
up seven
is whatever they gave up that game.
7 points is their average. Toledo is averaging giving up 3 points a game.
Toledo play one game.
They have.
I bet they did.
They played one game. They won 56-3.
So there you go.
And they're probably up there at the offense too.
Right.
Average 56. Yeah,
if I looked at that, you're probably right. The highest ranked SEC school.
I am now ranking Toledo, my number one team in the nation.
For entertainment purposes only, you will be placing a wager on Toledo.
They are number one defense, yeah. Number one offense. How can you not be number one?
You can't lose. They're going to crown them national champion. You can put as much on that one as you do to have on the Auburn game. Hey, the highest rated SEC school defensively at this point in time is Mississippi State. Georgia comes in at 14. Alabama and Auburn's not to be seen yet. At 22 is Vanderbilt.
Well, that Notre Dame game this weekend is interesting to me. I like Vandy. Are you plus laughing? The points. No, I really serious? Like Vandy plus the points.
You own Vandy?
Mm-hmm. Plus 14.
Plus 14. Okay. I still have not seen Alabama and Auburn ranks defensively number 37.
37.
Bama is on down 51.
Let's see what it is after 10 games.
Let's wait till at least midseason and see. I think a lot of these numbers are going to change. So
I bet Auburn don't change that much.
You know,
they might move up.
They'll move up. They'll move up. They're better than
about
that.
20.
No. Auburn ends the season defensively ranked in the top 10.
No.
Yeah, they will.
No.
I'll say
total
this.
Total defense.
Yeah, total defense.
We're going to give up too much in our secondary. You've seen that number four, whatever his name is.
I know, and I agree with that. I'm going to go, since I'm always on the Alabama bandwagon, all right, for a.
This is for lunch. Jay, you need to make sure you get this because we're going to bet. I'm going to bet on Alabama side and run the bet on Auburn.
Here it is.
I was already thinking, hey, this is our 2018 promo. Y'all just keep going, guys.
At the end of the season, for lunch, not a steak, for lunch.
For lunch.
My bet is Auburn will rank higher defensively than Alabama will at the end of the season.
I'll take that bet.
You'll take that bet. For lunch.
There it is.
Regardless of Alabama, and you number 30 and 31, whatever it is, I think at the end of the season, Auburn will rank higher defensively than Alabama.
You know what? The old devil just got a jacket on because I think somewhere froze over just now.
Oh my! All right, all right, here's another one.
I feel plumb dirty doing that.
You need to go home, take a bath.
Ooh.
Oh my! All right, that was mine. No bet on this one. At the end of the season, does Alabama or Auburn, which one ranks higher offensively? Now, I've got
Alabama.
My pick there. No question.
Alabama.
Because they are
good offensively, and their schedule is prime for that. I'm talking
now, what's
about.
Different? I just said something good.
Let's go, big boy.
I just took Auburn, and then you come back and slap me around about Alabama's schedule.
Let's look at
last week's schedule.
All right, let's look at it.
Arkansas State.
Wait a minute.
How many people across the country would know more about Arkansas State football than Alabama State?
What's that got to do with it?
Both
of us played a cupcake.
Arkansas State would beat Alabama State beating a rented
mule.
They
would beat them. But let's look at this. All right, Auburn opened up with Washington.
Yeah.
The top 10 opponent.
At that time.
Now show me a Washington. Let's take the West out of it because we play the same teams.
You have to take that out.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying.
So we're going to play in our cross game. We play Georgia where Alabama plays Tennessee.
Alabama's always played Tennessee.
Auburn's always played Georgia. I'm just saying Alabama's schedule is weak.
Yeah, but go back a few years when Georgia wasn't very good and Tennessee was winning the national championship.
Auburn's schedule is weak. I can say Auburn plays from time to time a weak schedule.
Okay,
Why can you not say that Alabama plays a weak schedule?
I'm just saying it's no weaker.
I'll say it. Alabama plays a weak schedule, too.
It's no weaker than it ever is.
It's a lot weaker this year.
I think Rex wants in on this conversation.
Rex, help me out. Runny is killing me here. Alabama's schedule is a lot weaker this year than it usually is.
Than when?
Than last year.
It's always weak.
Well, yeah, I give
you
that.
What are you basing it on?
Seriously, unless their first game is a powerhouse, they're always weaker than the majority of the conference for some reason.
Auburn will rank in the top five in strength of schedule.
I'm pretty sure it's number one right now.
Rex says number one right now.
In the whole country?
In the whole country. Yes,
sir. Yeah, it was at the beginning of the season. I don't know how it stands now, but the beginning of the season number one.
That's the beginning of the season.
Right, it just didn't need it.
But it's because of Washington was top 10, and when LSU moved up to where they're at now, it makes it even stronger.
I agree.
LSU's a pretender. They're not going to be there when it ends up. But
what about Texas A&M? Are they a pretender?
Yeah.
You think
so? That's like you. Yeah, they got weaknesses like crazy. But hey, they playing good ball. But you know, they just haven't been tested. I mean, Clemson made a lot of mistakes, and it's just
they were less than impressive.
I watched a show today that said that'd be about what if so and so played off the schedule.
Yeah.
Well, the only one that they even picked to even do good was Ohio State. The rest of them were 8-4 and 7-5 and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's, but you know, that was their opinions. But yeah, as far as rankings go, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was number one beginning of the season. I don't know if it still is as far as strength schedule went. But
yeah,
but like said, it's got to be even stronger now that
I'll look it up while y'all talking.
And those things, like you said, Rex. Now, honestly, those things will change week to, you know, they can change week to week.
Strength of schedule changes as the rankings come out every week.
That's right.
Alabama's is not going to change a lot, though.
No, Alabama's ain't going to change much. And, you know, they still got to play Auburn. They still got to play Ole Miss. You know, those are all same old year in, year out. The only thing that changes is who's ranked and who did you pretty much start the year off with.
That's the big thing.
Auburn had a tough game beginning of the year, and that's one of the things schedule jumped up.
Exactly, because many of your games are set anyway, because you got to play, you know, all the teams.
Well,
you know,
plus, it depends on away and home. I mean, you look where Auburn's got what, go to Georgia and go to Tuscaloosa.
That's exactly right.
And they got another away game too that's tough. I forget who it is, but you know, they got three away games that they're just killers.
Let's see. Last year
they were at home, and you know, and they won them all.
They go to Mississippi State. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, Mississippi State. There you go. They're at Mississippi State. That's
right. Tell you what, I think that's a quality football team.
Mississippi State's scary.
I agree. Did you? I watched them play. Well, I hate to say it now; it slipped my mind. Who it was they played last week?
Oh yeah, I watched both of them. I always make sure I catch the replays.
I forgot who it was, but I was impressed with them. That old boy, I think he's going to do a good job.
They got a front seven that rivals Auburn's on defense now. I'm telling you, you know, and that's why everybody's talking about, Ole Miss will give Alabama scare. No, they won't.
Yeah,
Alabama could literally lay 70 on them Saturday.
That's
now, they're going to score some points.
Right.
You know, they might score 21-28. But they have no defense. They have zero defense.
That's exactly, Rex. The numbers that came out of your mouth is exactly what Jason and I talked about earlier. Because I said, look, if Ole Miss is averaging their total defense, they're 119th out of 130. They're averaging giving up 34 points against Texas Tech and Southern Illinois. If that's their average against those two, Bama can hang 70 on them if they chose, I would think.
Right, and what's the matter is their offense is so talented.
Yes, they are.
They have some receivers that are pro ready.
They are, and they may have the number one pick in the NFL draft with the receiver. I can't think of his name.
Their receivers and quarterback are awesome, but they just how do you have that great of an offense and you hadn't recruited defensive players? Yeah. That just blows my mind. Yeah.
And you know, and then they lost. You know, they lost a lot of kids who bailed after you know the Hugh Freeze you know thing took.
Right, I understand that they did. They did lose a lot of players, but apparently they added some offensive studs.
I agree. So
they're really good. But like you said, Alabama, I think will be able to if they want to hang 70 on them, they'll hang 70 on them.
I think you're right. I think they're good enough this year offensively to do that. You know, if they chose, you know, Saban, you know, chose.
They will literally score every single possession unless they give the ball up.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, unless they beat themselves, and I don't mean beat, they're not going to lose the game.
Right.
Unless they beat themselves in the turnover battle, they will score every single possession. You know, I'd like Auburn. How many turnovers did Auburn have Saturday? Seven?
Gosh, it was a bunch. Yeah, five, I mean, really, somewhere in that range.
I know they had five. I think it might have been seven. you know, and some of them were flukes. Some of them, you know, one guy come out of the scrum holding the ball and running the other way. I mean, you know, some of them were flukes with third string running backs and stuff like that. But still, they had 7 turnovers and scored what? Almost 70?
Exactly. They scored every time they had it, except when they were turning it over, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when you got a front 7 like they have, and even their backups to the backups on defense were really, really good.
Right. Hey, Rex, Jason and I, we just made a lunch bet a while ago, and the bet was, I took Auburn, was at the end of the season. I'm just talking about defensively. At the end of the season, I believe Auburn defensively will be ranked nationally higher than Alabama will be defensively.
Oh yeah, that's a gimme. Yeah.
You don't want to do a lunch, yeah, too, do you, right?
There's no doubt in my mind that'll happen. Now, I mean, you look at the rankings right now, Boise State is number 1 in everything.
Keep in mind, Alabama scared you, too, Rex. Alabama is going
to. You got a point there, but Auburn has the front 7 of some of the old great Alabama defense.
You're right. I agree.
I mean, unless they just have, you know, 3 knee blowouts or 4 knee blowouts this next game, their front 7 is just amazingly good. Now, that don't mean some people can't pass on them. I think Alabama's going to pass on like crazy when they end up playing them, but it's going to be interesting. But I think they'll be ranked above defensive-wise.
I hope. If so, it'll be worth a lunch.
Everybody in offense.
But that was the bet.
I'll gladly buy your lunch.
Auburn nationally would be ranked higher defensively than Alabama, and then on the flip side, Alabama will be ranked higher offensively than Auburn will.
I believe
you're right. I think it will be defensively, offensively flip flopped.
Exactly. Okay. Hey, Rex. On another subject, have you had your boat in the water? But now I saw a picture of a nail in somebody's hand that you must have picked up in one of your trailer tires.
You only seen half of it. I had two.
Oh, you had
two. Yeah, I had. I woke up with 2 flat tires.
Oh.
And a big old nail in both of them, so I had to air them up and run them to the tire store Wednesday morning. And so, 2 flat tires. I've been on Pickwick a couple of times. And
taking clients?
Had to do what?
Were you taking clients out to fish?
Yeah, we had a corporate trip on Pickwick. It was really fun.
Gotcha.
And then I had the ABT open this past Saturday. And I snuck it up on that one. I think I ended up one place out of a check line.
Now you're talking about is that the term that Wesley Sams and
Wesley Sams and Jordan Wiggins won it.
Right.
And then there was a pro division, which there's only 2. But Jordan's brother Jesse fishes the elites. He won it. So I had a good day.
Right. And what do you have, what's coming up?
Coming up, nothing this weekend, and then next week be on Pickwick again for the final stop of the Alabama Bass Trail Northern Division. It's the tournament that we have postponed in February. It'll be on Pickwick next week.
Okay, and that you said that ends the, for lack of a better word, ends
the
regular season.
End of the regular season, and then October will be the championship on that.
Okay. Is it been determined yet who will be in the championship, or does some already, you know, have qualified?
Yeah, it determines the top 75 in each division goes, and so it'll be the final rankings for everything after Pitwick is done.
Okay, and that's when.
That's Saturday, a week from Saturday. I can't say Saturday week. Do y'all say Saturday week or week from Saturday?
I say a week from Saturday.
I say a week from Saturday.
Y'all crazy. Saturday week.
Now
my wife and I got into it about that a couple of weeks ago. She got tired of the last 26 years of me saying Tuesday week or Wednesday week.
You just called her to round
up. I don't say both, but I would say, like,
well, I put up a little Facebook poll on my personal Facebook page, and I lost convincingly.
Oh, you did? Okay. So you were humbled, in other words.
Yeah, but it's just the
IQ of some people.
Oh, I understand. I understand. Hey, Rich, you said you were on Pick Week recently. Did y'all have a, you know, did you catch a lot of fish? You know, everybody had a good time. All that stuff.
Fun. The September on Pick Week. It's funny. September is usually a bad month for everywhere. Smith Lake's horrible in September. Gunnersville's horrible. Gunnersville begins a little bit of a fog bite on the grass, so it kind of makes it a little bit fun, but everything else is dead, and they don't really pull a whole lot of water in September. People not using as much air conditioning stuff and power. But September on Pickwick has gotten so much grass the last couple of 3 years that it's fun, and so we had a blast. We caught 30 or 40 each day. All on top water, so it's fun right now.
Fantastic. Were you catching largemouth?
I catch a lot of big fish, but it's all numbers.
I got
it's all largemouth.
All largemouth.
Yeah, there's no going up to the dam and getting in the current for smallmouth.
Right.
And, you know, we've got a lot of rain, maybe, but we haven't had a whole lot of rain. But hopefully this next little storm coming through, push some rain in Tennessee River, and they'll be moving up a little rain and get some current moving.
Right. Okay, and you mentioned, Rex, you were talking about Smith being normally or always, for the probably better, bad the month of September. What would be the cause of that be?
Well, it's just a transition period. It's the top of the line for heat. I mean, the water temps in the upper 80s, low 90s still.
Right.
But as the month goes and we start getting some cooler nights, it'll slowly start coming down. Like this past Saturday, we had a blast in the tournament catching fish. We just weren't catching big ones, and we weren't catching all bass. We were catching a lot of stripe.
Oh.
And the stripe were schooling Saturday, I mean, like crazy. So it was every cast you could catch a fish.
Oh, man, that's cool.
It's fun. I mean, it's, you know, if you want to go have some fun, right now is the time to go have some fun on Smith Lake, but you're not going to catch all bass because the stripe are running.
Right.
But it's just that transition period as the water starts cooling off. This next coming week and the week after will start getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better as days go by.
I got you. Hey, I got one. I got another boating question here. Hypothetically, or actually, this has happened to me. Battery was dead. I had to have some work done on my boat. Probably may have left something on. I don't know. Got my boat back. Put in a brand new battery. Went down to the lake. That battery was dead as a hammer. If I don't have something on, what would be causing that current to be pulled out of that battery?
Oh yeah, you got a short somewhere that's just pulling it. Good luck finding it. finding a short that's draining your battery is a booger. And you really just got to go each individual wire that you got there and seeing what's actually pulling amps off your battery while it's sitting still.
Well, okay, the cheap version to fix that is, what if when I put my boat up every day, I just disconnect my battery?
Yeah, just take everything off of it. And I'll tell you what, TH Marine right now has a new thing. You can order straight from TH Marine site. It's a solid... It's two connectors that goes on each of your battery terminals where all your wires connect to that one connector, and you can just pop just one single connector off your battery terminals and everything's disconnected.
Oh.
And it's a lifesaver for problems like that.
Well, that would be a whole lot easier than, you know, doing it to...
Yeah, than having every wire and keeping them together, knowing which one's positive and negative and all that stuff.
Right.
And these just, they slip on over the battery connector, and then your wires connect to those, and you just pop each one of them off, and then when you get ready to go, you just pop one on each one of them, you're ready for the water.
Sweet. Okay, that may be what I do. You said TX?
TX Marine.
TX
Marine.com, and look for their new products. It'll pop up.
New products. Okay. Good deal. That's why, well, that helps me greatly, so... But hey, Rex, you got any, you know, again, we talked a little bit about tournaments. You got any trips coming up, or if you don't have any, you know, customers, how can people, you know, get hooked up with you and possibly, you know, you take somebody fishing for a day?
Yeah, right now is when people start booking their fall trips for, you know, late September and October, because that's when the fishing really turns around and starts getting good. So you can out. Everybody can find me at on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing or on the web at smithlakebass.com.
I got you, man. Hey, Rex.
And if I'm not playing golf, I'll be glad.
I'm going to say you're either on a golf course or you'll be in a boat, one of the two.
Shot par yesterday.
Shot par. Fantastic. I think the other day you told me, did you shoot par the last time we talked? Or I said before?
That's the second time ever. Yesterday was the second time I've ever done it.
Oh, man. Fantastic. Congratulations. That doesn't happen very much at all. Or doesn't for me.
No,
that's for sure.
But what kills you is when you're on number 18 and you're one over.
Oh, you birdie.
And you got a eagle chip that lacks 2 inches going in.
Oh, man. To have been one under.
It would have been one
oh,
under.
Oh, sweet.
Right.
Sweet. Good deal, Ray. Congratulations, man.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll be trying to beat it tomorrow. I promise.
I hear you. I don't blame you, Rex. Hey, Rex, thanks for joining us, bud. We appreciate it every week for, you know, joining us and giving us all the updates and what's going on in the lakes and talking some football, too.
We're talking a lot of Tigers next week.
You
My
got
mom
it.
Keeps going off. We're talking Tigers all week next week, I bet you.
You got it. All right. All right, Rex. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Rex.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Hey, it is 5:43. Big thanks to Rex Chambers, our local fishing expert. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break here on Live
95. I even found you a song about a boat on the river, man.
There
Come
you
on.
Go. Yeah. Boat on the river. As a public service announcement, we'll be making our picks when we come back, so plan accordingly.
Get
Stay with
ready.
Us.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Colman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage in MLS number 338177. Equal housing lender. You're invited to the Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. Hear pastors such as Oney Cooper of Restoration Church in Hansville, Dana Sarver of Church on the Rock in Barre, Kentucky, Jenny Poupre of Faith Restoration Church in Hansville, and Lisa Jones of New Ground Fellowship in Coleman. This is a women's conference, but men are invited to attend. Enjoy praise and worship by Oney Cooper Jr. and Band. Come expecting a mighty move of God. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. For more information, call 256-338-2245. 256-338-2245. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center.
Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Coleman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Coleman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. and tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's Independent Radio.
Now that we've given everybody a seizure on the roads.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
We've got them pulled over anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Ronnie, you want to introduce this segment and get everybody the public service announcement?
Yeah, it's a public service announcement for our next segment here for about the next 10 minutes. We will be making our predictions for this week's games, both high school and college. We don't do much of the pro stuff.
No, so we're on strike.
We're on strike against the pros, so plan accordingly. You know, I know it's very important to everyone out there that they get what our picks are because, you know, we're so talented and at our ability to pick.
And we always tell the truth.
And we always, that's right, it always tells the truth. We do have one bet that we've made, again, for the end of the year. That bet simply is, I say, Auburn will finish the season ranked higher than Alabama defensively, and of course then Jason takes Alabama. So we have flipped teams in this case, and then we both agree that Alabama will be ranked higher offensively than Auburn. So
you better write that one down because I don't do that many.
So there we are at the end of the season. The Auburn Tigers, I'm pulling for to be the leader nationally over Alabama in total in defense. Total defense, scoring defense. Let's do scoring defense.
Let's do total.
Total defense. That's the one I agreed to. Okay, that'll work. Total defense.
All right, let's kick it off here. Let's tip it off.
Let's tip it off.
All right, Cold Springs at home playing Summit to Christian.
I'm taking Cold Springs in a rout. I think Cold Springs wins that 45-7.
45-7. I'm going to say Cold Springs wins it 34-13.
And we'll be broadcasting that game live.
That's right, live 95.5. Kickoff. Columbia at Coleman.
Coleman Bearcats get back on the winning side of it. I think they handle Columbia pretty easily,
35-13. I'm also going to go with Coleman, but going to make it a little closer. I'm going to say 26-13, same as you.
All right.
Fairview playing St. John Paul, the some number.
St. John Paul and Fairview. How do you go against St. John Paul?
Well, he's just one man. He's going to have a hard time covering all Fairview.
It's like you're the king in the court in softball. Yeah. Oh, I'm taking St. John Paul. 14-13.
14-13.
I hate to do that.
Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to take Fairview because I don't think St. John Paul is pretty old. I don't think he can cover all the Fairview receivers.
He got a lot of injuries.
Fairview wins this one 20-16.
All right.
Tanner at Good Hope. That should be a good ball game.
I would think Tanner is, you know, year in and year out, they usually have good talent. But I'm going with Good Hope. Good Hope's on a roll, I think. Matter of fact, I believe they're undefeated. So I'm sticking with the Raiders, coached by Coach Alan Scott. 27-20.
And, Ronnie, here's where we're going to disagree. I got to go with the Rattlers.
Oh, we're going with the Rattlers.
I'm going Rattlers 30, Good Hope 20.
All right. Cold Springs knows a lot about Tanner Rattlers, don't
they? I'm telling you, especially in basketball.
You got that right.
Vimont at Midfield. Going down to Midfield.
As much as I'd like to take Vimont here with a win, I'm just going to have to go with Midfield. I say Midfield wins 28-10.
All right. I've also got to go with Midfield. In this one, I'm going to say 33-13. Holly Pond at Huntsville.
I'm going Holly Pond over the Bulldogs. 31-13.
And I'm going with Holly Pond also 43.
Ooh, that's putting them up.
To 12.
Okay.
West Point and Lawrence County.
Going with the Warriors. Get a W there. 35-30.
I'm going to go with Lawrence County. I know nothing about them, but I'm going Lawrence County. Right, 26-23.
Yeah, you live on the edge a lot. Anyway.
That's right. All right, jumping to the college ranks.
All right.
Florida State, -3, playing at Syracuse.
Yeah. For entertainment purposes only, I think I would put a lot of funds on Syracuse. I think Syracuse wins the ball game. How's Florida State favored?
I don't know, but they are.
It's amazing. Florida State win. I mean, Syracuse wins that football game, 21-17.
All right. Florida State gets back on the track this week.
You going Florida State?
Going Florida State, 27-20.
Wow. That's surprising.
Vandy at Notre Dame.
Well, I'm going to have to go Notre Dame. So there it is. My points are 28-24. I think it's going to be a lot closer than 14.
I agree with you, Ronnie. I think Notre Dame's going to win this one in a low scoring battle, 17-13.
Boy.
All right. USC and Texas.
Do you know where that's played?
At Texas.
At Texas, I'm going to take the Longhorns. Boy, after that debacle against Maryland, they really need something positive to happen for them. Of course, I know that's a couple of weeks ago. Again, I'm taking Texas to beat USC 28-21. Pretty simple score.
And I'm going to go with Texas also 24-14.
24-14. Okay.
Washington at Utah.
I'm going Washington. I think Washington, if things play out, they should run the table the rest of the way. So I got to pick Washington. I don't think it's really close. 35-10.
35-10. I'm going Washington also. I'm going to go 31-17.
Okay.
Alabama at Ole Miss in the Grove.
All right. Well, I'm certainly going to have to go with Alabama. If you like points put up, this is going to be the one to see. I'm taking Alabama
65-21. I'm going a little bit lower than that. I'm going Alabama 52, Ole Miss 13.
Okay.
Pretty LSU reasonable. At Auburn.
Going to be a good football game. I believe LSU has a chance to win. I think, for me, I think 9.5, 10 is a little bit high. But I still think Auburn wins. I think it's closer. 24-21.
All right. And I'm going to go with Auburn 31-13.
So you say they're going to cover the spread and then some.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Last one, Ohio State at TCU.
Ohio State at TCU. I'm going TCU. I sure hope that's the way it ends up. And it's going to be a heartbreaker, 21-20.
21-20.
Ohio State misses a field goal or gets it blocked at the end of the game.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with Ohio State, and I'm going 30-27.
All right. There are the picks.
That's it.
Hope everybody got those.
Write them down. That's take right. them to the bank.
For entertainment purposes hey, only, you in business.
I don't know, but I heard some of the banks were taking these. Just write these picks on a deposit slip and take it to the bank.
You don't even need that. No check, no cash,
you just
no
take
nothing.
It, hand it to them, and tell them how much you want to put in there, and they'll go ahead and deposit it for you.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's true or not,
yeah,
but I heard that.
Right. You heard that from a high
right.
up.
Right.
Bank president.
Bank
actually.
President at some bank.
That's all right. So there you go, folks.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week and see if we got anything right at all. So until then, hope you have a safe weekend, a great weekend. Again, say a prayer for those in North Carolina, South Carolina, mm-hmm. Georgia, Virginia, all up in that area where they face the big hurricane.
A lot of games scheduled, so check right. Check you know your source of games to see what's played. So right. There's a lot you can cancel.
Until next week, let me say a big War Eagle.
And leave you with a... just a gigantic Roll Tide.
Thanks, folks. See you next week. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. State Auditor Jim Ziegler says $200,000 worth of state property is missing this quarter. He says stolen computers and wrecked state vehicles top the list of losses. In some cases, the property was stolen, or in other cases, employees had no idea what happened to the items that are missing. Ziegler says he wants to introduce legislation in the next session to give more power to his office, as he says no one is held accountable for these losses and the negligence is unacceptable. The trial for a murder case in Brighton dropped after gun and shell casing evidence went missing. New Police Chief Larry Woods says the evidence room looked like an episode of Hoarders.
We were not notified about the trial. None of the officers were subpoenaed to be at the trial. Nobody had requested the evidence.
He says it's being completely renovated and organized, and the project should be done by the weekend. A summit on bike riders and drivers sharing the road being held at the Irondale Police Substation tonight. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Hoover police are looking for a man who assaulted an 80-year-old woman at a Costco. The woman says she was attacked when she was loading items into her car. She says the suspect took two items from her cart, pushed her against the vehicle, and ran. Witnesses say the man was driving a black Acura. Anyone with information urged to contact Hoover police. A community forum tonight at Brookwood High School in Tuscaloosa for Tuscaloosa County students and parents to discuss their concerns with county school leaders and make plans for the future. Apartments could be coming to North Birmingham. City Council is considering transforming the former Kirby Middle School to a building that houses single-family lofts. Property quite close to the Topgolf Entertainment venue in the Uptown District of Birmingham. At the Norwood Neighborhood Meeting later this month, a developer will speak with community members about this possible development. The Greater Birmingham Humane Society lending a hand to those affected by Hurricane Florence. They're ready to transport animals from shelters in both North and South Carolina. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
This is Acting State Health Officer Dr. Scott Harris. Almost 3 million people in the United States, age 40 and older, have glaucoma. And nearly half do not know it because there are no early symptoms, noticeable vision loss, or pain. By the time symptoms start to appear, this sneak thief of sight, as glaucoma is often referred to, has already started to permanently damage the eye. If left undiagnosed or poorly controlled, glaucoma can cause irreversible damage and ultimately the loss of sight. People with a glaucoma often start to notice the loss of their peripheral vision or the sight around the edges of their field of vision, but by then it's often too late. Once vision is lost to glaucoma, it cannot be restored, so it is important to visit your eye doctor regularly. If you haven't been to the eye doctor within the past 2 years, make an appointment for your dilated eye exam today. Be kind to your eyes and visit our website at alabamapublichealth.gov for more information.
In money news, a developer from Maryland backing out of a plan to create a luxury mixed-use development at the Trinity Medical Center site in Birmingham. Planned concept was dubbed Trinity Heights, included apartments and condos. Trinity Medical Center closed 3 years ago, moving to a new facility, Grandview Medical Center, off Highway 280 in Birmingham. New business opening in Utah, a Love's Travel Stop near Interstate 2059. The Delta Regional Authority giving the city more than $300,000 to provide infrastructure that includes sewer connections. The business expected to employ 43 people.
It means a lot to our community. I believe that's going to spur economic growth and development.
Mayor Raymond Steele says they'll break ground on the project October 15th. Baldwin County Public Schools partnering with Reed State Technical College. They'll start teaching commercial driver license classes after trucking industry reps approached the school board looking to recruit new drivers. The classes start in January. State officials said to be considering allowing drivers at age 18 to get their CDL. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
You're invited to the Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. Hear pastors such as Oney Cooper of Restoration Church in Hansville, Dana Sarver of Church on the Rock in Barre, Kentucky, Jenny Poupre of Faith Restoration Church in Hansville, and Lisa Jones of New Ground Fellowship in Coleman. This is a women's conference, but men are invited to attend. Enjoy praise and worship by Oney Cooper Jr. and band. Come expecting a mighty move of God. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. For more information, call 256-338-2245. 256-338-2245. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.